Hello, I'm Nelson Olmstead. Today, let's visit the place the Blackfoot Indians called the Backbone of the World. But now, Clint Gruber's standing by with a word from Pacific Power.
Welcome once again to Stories of Pacific Powerland, a presentation of Pacific Power and Light, the company that has been serving the electric needs of the region's homes, farms, and industries through more than half a century of progress and growth. Now, let's join Nelson with today's chapter from Pacific Powerland.
To the Indians of the Blackfoot and the Flathead tribes, the 1,600 or more square miles straddling the Rocky Mountains in what is now northwestern Montana was a bountiful hunting ground. The Blackfeet in particular were fierce in their desire to guard their lands against the expanding frontier of the white men. One grizzled trapper said,
Sure shooting. There's a fortune in beaver in them mountains. And there's plenty of Blackfeet, too. Measuring one against the other, it ain't going to do you no good to get them beaver hides out if you lose your own hide in the deal.
But an area so rich in both resources and natural beauty was not likely to remain overlooked for long. In the years following 1850, adventuresome men, trappers, surveyors, and missionaries found their way into this well-guarded wilderness. And then in 1885, an influential and energetic Easterner was attracted to this remote corner of the West. He was George Bird Grinnell, editor of the national outdoor magazine called Forest and Stream. He told a friend one day, I've about decided to take a trip west this year. I've been publishing articles by a fellow named James Willard Schultz from Montana, and he's got me so excited about that country, I can hardly wait to see it for myself. The historic meeting of Grinnell and Schultz took place in Helena, Montana. From there, the editor and author traveled north by stage and wagon into a land George Grinnell was later to describe far away in northwestern Montana. Hidden from view by clustering mountain peaks lies an unmapped corner, the crown of the continent. No words can describe the grandeur and majesty of these mountains. Grinnell's first exposure to this hidden land produced a passion in him, a passion that was to last his lifetime through. Each year, as long as he was able, George Bird Grinnell revisited the remote lands known then as St. Mary's Lake Country. He tramped its mountains, fished its streams, hunted its game. He studied the rocks, the plants, and the animals. And he soon became convinced, as he said, "It is vital to set this area aside for the people of this nation. The elements of unparalleled scenic beauty and recreational potential are only two important aspects. We must consider the future of our country, too. This region is a vast reservoir for the storage of water in lakes, glaciers, and snowfields." Well, George Bird Grinnell carried his cause to the nation's political heart. He contacted legislators in Washington, D.C. He wrote articles for national publications. And in 1909, President William Howard Taft signed the bill which established Glacier National Park. Glacier Park, which now ranks among the incomparable scenic wonders of the world, is today one of the most popular tourist attractions in Western America. Each summer, thousands of visitors enliven the cities and towns of Montana's Flathead Basin, which forms the southwest gateway to the park. And the memory of George Bird Grinnell, who spent a full 25 years making this dream come true, is perpetuated by a mountain and a glacier which bear his name, mighty and enduring monuments to a man of vast foresight and enduring courage.